Yeah, Pastor Ogle can make you feel right at home before you get up to preach, I can tell you that much. If I get in any trouble, Pastor Ogle, I'll be coming to talk to you. Like, if you would, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1 tonight. Joshua chapter 1. I would be ungrateful if I did not spend some time saying thank you for the investment that you've made in my life in the last 4 years. I can remember, it's hard to believe. I think back, it's sort of starting to hit me right now. It'll really hit me next week, probably about the time when I start walking forward to take that diploma. It's hard to believe 4 years have gone by. I think about the friends that I've made. You've become like a family to me. I can remember back 4 years ago, I was here with my family, went to another church in the morning. We came here that Sunday night, my first Sunday here, and I've been here ever since. I'm sorry about that. Gotten teased about being from West Virginia, many other things. But I just want to say thank you to a few people. Pastor Ogle, I want to thank you for the investment you've made in my life, not only in the classroom there at Ambassador, but also here. Remember you coming to me when I came here as a freshman, asked me if I'd like to help with the youth department, you know, as a youth ministry major. I was thankful for that opportunity that I've had, first working with the Swaffers that were here, and then with Pastor Caleb for the last 3 years. And thank you, Pastor Caleb, for allowing me to work with you as well. Just have some pretty good times. Something else working with an MK from Suriname and then a boy from West Virginia. It's an exciting duo right there. And there's many others. Brother Brew, thank you for letting me sing in your choir. And it's been fun. Allow me to sing in your choir. Let's put it that way. Just want to thank everyone here. I could go on all night, but I do consider this one of my, like, I have my home church back home. This is also my home church, and I, Lord willing, I hope to come through here and visit many times. And as Pastor Ogle said, I have the opportunity for the next year. He actually helped me with this, to be in an advanced ministry training with Evangelist Tom Farrell. When you come in as a senior, you don't know what you're going to do when you graduate. You kind of get anxious and don't know what's going to happen. You just need to trust God. God's got it all in control. And it's amazing to see how he leads. And you know, I still worry about things. You can ask Ethan about that. But I just go to him all the time and just give him all my troubles and everything. But you just need to trust God. And that's something I'm learning. And I think we're all learning that. This continual process. Joshua chapter 1 here tonight. I'm sure many of you know the story and what's going on. The children of Israel have come out of Egypt. And as a result of their sin and disbelief, they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But now that time has passed. Most of those, the ones that have did not believe and disobey God, including a great man of God, but he disobeyed God, Moses, they've all passed off the scene. And they're getting ready to enter into the land of promise, Canaan. I know many times, even here in the South, different places, we think of crossing Jordan, we think about going to heaven. And I don't want to mess up your songs here tonight, but that's not what this is picturing here. This is picturing entering into the victorious Christian life. As we look at here, we're going to read this first chapter. It's exciting. The book of Joshua is exciting. And there's so many things that we can glean from this book for us as Christians today, in 2017, that we can apply to our lives. So let's go ahead and begin reading there with verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even at the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass to the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals. And between and within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And go to the Reubenites and the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then you shall return into the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. I don't know about you, but as we go through life, as we go through our daily lives, there's many times companies, trademarks, they'll have these little jingles, you know, they'll try to get into your head, and you'll remember these things. You'll remember these things more than scripture. It's kind of annoying sometimes. You just can't get them out of your head, and they do that on purpose so you can remember it. So if I were to tell you tonight, you can answer with me here if you would. When you think of finger licking good, what do you think of?
KFC.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. McDonald's. You're in good hands. Or you're in good hands. Allstate. Think outside the bun. Taco Bell. What can Brown do for you? UPS. And I'll think RJ's in here tonight, but keep pounding. That's the Panthers. I told her I was going to give her a shout out tonight, but I think she's afraid she'd get convicted or something. I'm not for sure. And then the title of my message tonight, which I think is appropriate, is Just Do It, which is for Nike. Now, I think so often, you know, today, you know, that might not be exactly what we're looking for, but when you think about the phrase Just Do It, many times they have these inspirational commercials about getting up early in the morning and do ridiculous, idiotic things like running or something in the morning. And they're trying to inspire you, you know, just do it. They're dumb. But I think about when you look at this passage, when you look at the children of Israel, and we think about us in our lives today, we need to just do it. There's so many things out in front of us that we could do, but many times we just want to be like the guy on the beginning of that commercial and just sit on a lazy boy and do nothing. We need to just do it. God's given us the command here in his word, and he's given us what we need to do. So before we get into this message tonight, let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for this day giving us. Thank you for your word and for the opportunity that we have to open again tonight. Thank you for the freedom that we can do this without fear. We're not hiding in a basement here tonight, but we can open up your word in public and share it with others and witness to others. I just pray that tonight that you'll give me the words to say, that everything that's said is for your honor and for your glory. This isn't for Seth Greenlee, but this is for you. I pray that this book that is ageless tonight, that it will make an impact on our life today. As a result of this message, this just won't be another sermon tonight or another time in church tonight. We won't just go through the rituals tonight, but we'll expect a change to be made in our lives. I'll give all the honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I used the illustration a minute ago about my title, Just Do It, I'm a sports fan. I love sports. I'm a Mountaineers fan. And I watch the NBA, NFL sometimes, not many times. But when you think about, when you look at sports history, I mean, you always remember the big-time names. You always remember Peyton Manning or Barry Sanders or Derek Jeter, those players. There you go, Ellie. Derek Jeter. You remember those people, but there are also those that look like they had so much promise, so much potential in college and coming up through the ranks, but they're known as the bust. They're known as the one that did nothing. Here's just a few tonight. 2003 NBA draft was one of the greatest drafts of all times, if you think about it. I mean, many people think of the name Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James. You think about those names. The second pick that night was a guy by the name of Darko Milicic. Does anybody know Darko Milicic? I don't believe that very many know about Dr. Sir. Okay, you ruined my illustration. But not many know about Darko Milicic. This man was supposed to, he was 7 feet tall. He was supposed to reinvent the position of the center despite his raw skills. Instead, he just wasted away on the Detroit bench and eventually just bounced from team to team before falling out of the league at 28 years old. Now here, this next name is one of the biggest busts in sports history. Ryan Leaf, San Diego Chargers. He was drafted in 1998, he was right ahead of Peyton Manning. We remember Peyton Manning. We don't remember Ryan Leaf. Well, we do, but not in a good sense. He went on to compile a 4-17 record and 25 starts with 36 interceptions. You're not supposed to have that many interceptions, by the way. Maybe touchdowns, but not interceptions. But he quickly found himself outside the league in trouble with the law. So Leaf has been serving time in prison while Manning's been winning Super Bowls and MVPs and another draft bust. And one of the biggest busts in history, and I hope I don't make Caleb Ogle mad at me tonight, this is a former Buckeye, Greg Oden. He was the first overall pick by the Portland Trailblazers in 2007. In an interview a few years ago, he himself said that he'll be remembered as the biggest bust in NBA history. There's been different things that have been a result of that, many times knee injuries and different things like that. But regardless, he did not meet his potential. Now think about these athletes, they had so much potential. The key is they had so much potential. Potential isn't a reality, it's just a possibility. As if with these athletes, you never strive or move forward, you too will be looked back upon as a bust or a failure. It doesn't matter how much talent or abilities or potential you have, if you're not using it to humbly to move forward for God, you're yet another bust. Potential is just a word. It's a possibility, a dream. Here in Joshua chapter 1, God has revealed the potential that the children of Israel has, what they could do. And he has even given us these tools today. These tools are still at our disposal today. It's right there for our taking. I found an illustration given by J. Vernon McGee. He told this story many years ago of an Englishman who moved to America. Soon after he arrived, he dropped out of sight. One day, his uncle in England died and left him about a $5 million estate. So the Scotland Yard went around trying to find this man. They eventually gave up hope of finding him. Later, he was found frozen to death in the entryway of a cheap hotel. He could not even afford at this time the 25 cents for a room, although he was an heir to $5 million. He did not claim what was his. He did not lay hold on what belonged to him. See, although God promised this land to Israel, they did not possess all they could. They didn't reach their full potential. Many Christians today are like Israel. They're blessed with all the spiritual blessings. They're blessed with all this potential, and yet they die like bums in a doorway without claiming those blessings as their own. What a tragedy it is. The book of Joshua, and in this passage, it tells us how we can lay hold of our possessions. First of all, tonight, I'd like to look at the promises of God, the promises of God that we have been given. First of all, they're there forever. In verse number 3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you as I said to Moses. They said this to the one that led them before. I'm going to give you this land. This is yours for the taking. It's there for the taking. Verse 2, it says, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. It's like having a gift handed out to you. All you need to do is take it. But with Israel, and many times in our own lives, we just leave it there on the table. We don't take it. We don't reach our full potential with it. It's there for the taking. A few years ago in 2014, a California couple just walking down a path in the backyard spotted an old can sticking out of the dirt. Poking at it was the first step, and they unburied a treasure that was worth $10 million. They'd walked by this path many times, but they'd never noticed it before. There were some coins in that treasure that was worth $1 million apiece. Just perfect condition coins. I think about in our lives, what we have at our fingertips, it's there for the taking. God's word, so often we just leave it there, and it's there for sure. Verse 3 says, again, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So we see these promises. We see these promises given here in Joshua chapter 1. And I would like to imagine, as in our own lives we have these big dreams, I'd like to think, as we look at this, as we look out on what these promises have been given to Israel, being optimistic, you would like to think, okay, they cashed upon these opportunities. They took all these promises. But as you go through the book of Joshua, sadly, just like many times in our own lives, I'm preaching to myself tonight, they do not reach their full potential. If you would, go ahead and turn with me. I'll get there in a minute. Turn with me to Judges chapter 2. But I'm just going to go through some of the scripture that is given showing this. Joshua 16:10 says, and they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve unto tribute. Joshua 17:12-13, yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities. The Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. Judges 1, chapter 1, verse 28 says, and it came to pass, pay attention, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, and did not utterly drive them out. And you're there with me in chapter 2 of Judges, verse 1 says, and an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. God's made a promise with us. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. Look with me at verse 4. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lift up their voice and wept. God's given us promises that we can take. Let's not be like many times that we are with our New Year's resolutions of joining the gym, getting a gym membership, but then we don't do it. Let's do it. Just do it. What are some of these promises that we can claim? Well, first of all, as we become Christians, we can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you've not accepted Him tonight, this is the first thing that you can do. You can accept Him as your Savior. God's given you an opportunity that you don't have to go through life not knowing what's going to happen when you die. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the first promise that you can claim. And it is a promise. John 10:28-30 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You can worry about it, but it's a promise that's been given. If you accepted Him as your Savior, you don't have to worry about it any longer. It's been paid for. And along with this, eternal life, one day we're going to be resurrected. That's another promise that's been given us. In 1 Corinthians 15:51-55, I won't go into it for sake of time. But in our daily lives, there's many other things that we can accept as promises, or we can go through life and worrying about it if you want to. I'd rather not do that. We can accept the promise of peace. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A well-known passage that we all know tonight, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. It's a promise that's been given. And many times we think to ourselves, like, I can't be forgiven for these sins. I can't move ahead in my Christian life. But in 1 John 1, 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I think in this junction in my life, there's many things I don't know the answer for, and you worry about it. You don't know the next step. You know what's going to happen in the next 5 years, but James 1, 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. And this meaning, liberally, is a good word. And upbraideth not, it shall be given him. So there's been promises that have been given us. So first of all, we see the promises of God. They're there for the taking. All we have to do is take them. Secondly, we see the person of God. First of all, he is consistent. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. He's consistent. He's past, present, and future. Verse 5 says, as I was with Moses, in the middle of that verse. He's been there in the past. Present, also in verse 5, so I will be with you. He's going to be there every step of the way. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow, and he's going to hold my hand as I walk through life. And he'll be there in the future. Verse 9 says, at the last part of that verse, and the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, but if we walk with him day by day, if we trust in him, we know the one who does. And back to that verse in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I like what one of our professors said. First, we have to know him. It's hard to trust someone you don't know. We need to trust in the Lord, our God. So he's consistent. Not only is our God consistent, but he's comforting. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18, 24. And one of these comforting verses here in chapter 1 of Joshua is verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. In the last part of this verse, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You know, I have developed many friendships in my time here, an ambassador here to Emmanuel, but we're all humans here tonight, and I may fail you, you may fail me, you may forsake me. I may do something to let you down, but there's someone who will not let me down. And that's my God. That's my Father. He is my Father. Romans 8, 14 to 17 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For if you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Not only is he our Father, he's our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, the very present time in trouble. Psalms 46, 1. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's my Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Luke 2, 11. In the passage, you know, a big encouragement to me is many times when I don't know what to do in life, when I get discouraged, and I need some kind of encouragement. I don't know about you, but I always go to the Psalms. You look at David's life and many things that David went through in his life, and he would write these encouraging things, how he would cry to the Lord. I was reading today in Psalm 77. You look at the first part there in Psalm 77. I don't know if David wrote it or someone else wrote it, but at first he's complaining. It says he complained to the Lord, but then as it transitions to the middle part of the chapter, it goes into like, how can I complain? The Lord's always been there with me. How can I be discouraged? He's always been my friend. He's always been my help. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, the context there is that David had just gone through a rough time. Goliath's brothers had almost killed him. But the Lord, but God had saved him. So here in 2 Samuel chapter 22, we see David having a little praising time. I think we can spend some time praising God for all he's done for us. I know we got to, you know, stay, you know, like Baptists, we can't get happy about anything, so think we're charismatic. But we can be happy every once in a while, thank the Lord for what he's done for us. 2 Samuel 22 says, "And David spake to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." Don't get discouraged. We have the promises of God, and we have the person of God. He's always going to be with us. Like what the songwriter said when he wrote the words of these songs, God is there. When your world is falling apart and you're searching for a light in the dark, know that he's never left your side. No, he's never left your side. God is there when the mountains won't part, when the mountains won't move and the seas won't part and your light seems so dark. In every trial you've been through, God is right there next to you. In every struggle and trying time, know that he's never left your side. No, he's never left your side. God is there. Not only is he consistent, is he comforting, but he is also commanding. He's given us two commandments as we step out into life, as we step out into the victorious Christian life. He tells us to be strong and to be courageous. It's amazing when you look at this passage, when you look at this, he says this over and over and over again. It first starts off in Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 through 8. Verse 6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not and be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee." And later on in verse 7 says, "Be strong and of a good courage." Deuteronomy 31, 22 through 23 says, "Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught to the children of Israel, and he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, Be strong and of a good courage." And Joshua 1, verses 6 through 7, where we're at right here, he says, "Be strong and of a good courage." Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage." And verse 18 says there, he ends this chapter saying, "Only be strong and of a good courage." We don't have to be going through life scared, because we, in of ourselves, we can't do anything. But I think many times in our own life, we just go to God when we're in trouble. We try to push through the best that we can, but we're just weak vessels. We can't do it on our own. But there's a God who's never left our side. He's going to be there all along the way. He wants us to be strong, but we can only do it with him. I think of a story I heard about a young assistant pastor came to his pastor one day, and there's a situation that came up, and he's like, "Pastor, this is a terrible situation. I think we need to pray." To which the pastor's like, "Has it come to that? We have to pray?" No, we should have been praying all along. We should have been looking to the Lord all along for our strength, because he is our strength. He is our high tower. We need to look to the Lord for our strength. He's commanded us to do so. And lastly, we saw the promises of God. We saw the person of God. And lastly, we see the precepts of God. In verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." When I look at these two things, the one we're looking at right now, the precepts of God, God's word, along with the person of God, that's something else that is neglected with the children of Israel. We see this commandment right here. As we go on through Joshua, in chapter 9, if you know what's happening in chapter 9, we see the story of the Gibeonites who came to try to deceive the children of Israel. And something that's really sobering to me is in verse 14. When they come to talk to them, it says, "And the men took of their victuals," talking about the Gibeonites, "they took of their victuals, and they asked not the counsel of the mouth of the Lord." That's when we get in trouble. We try to push through in life. And many times we get busy, but it's not in those busy times that we need to be lacking in our time with the Lord and our time in prayer. We need to be increasing it. I don't remember who it was, but I remember someone that said that I have a really busy day today, and if I don't spend 2 hours in prayer, it's just going to be wasted. So often we think, okay, it's a really busy day. Okay, I'll pray real quick, 15 seconds, that I can move on throughout my day. No, you need to be spending more time in prayer. I think about many times when people are going through trials, it's those times that they get precious scripture that means so much to them in their lives, and it's such an encouragement to them. I met God in the morning when day was at its best. His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long, the presence lingered. All day long, he stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. When I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine, when I too had loosed their moorings with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret. Learn from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want him through the day. Don't neglect that time with the Lord. So we see the precepts of God. It is to be remembered. They shall not depart from your mouth. It is to be used. We're to meditate therein day and night. And so many times we just read the Bible in the morning and we just leave our Bible there for the rest of the day. Yeah, we read a Bible, but we're not thinking about what we read. It hasn't had its impact on our lives and that change that needs to be in our life. It is to be obeyed. You just can't read the Bible and say you read it and just go on about your way. You need to think about it. You need to pray, Lord, show me something from your word that I can change my life. It's a mirror. It's to change us. We just can't look and it's like, okay, I'm fine, and just move on. No, we have to make that change in our life. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Are you spending that time in God's word? Because there's no way that we're going to grow. There's no way that we're going to grow more Christ-like unless we spend that time in his word. I'll go ahead and use the many times the Baptist preacher lie. I'll be finished in just a second. But I'd like to close with what F.B. Meyer wrote about this passage here in Joshua chapter 1. It was very convicting what he wrote. Have you realized these conditions and entered in on those privileges? Are you still in the wilderness, or have you entered the land of promise? Do you occupy cities you never built? Eat of vineyards and olive yards that you have never planted? Drink of cisterns filled from the everlasting hills which you have never hewed, and inhabit houses full of all good things which you have never stored? Do you dwell in a land of corn and wine while the heavens drop dew? Do you, as the beloved of the Lord, dwell between his shoulders? Do you tread down your enemies between shoes of iron or brass? Do you make your dwelling place in the eternal God, whilst underneath are his everlasting arms? Test yourself by the promises made to Israel, which are types and shadows of eternal realities. And if they do not foreshadow facts in your spiritual experience, understand that you frustrate the purpose of God in your redemption. Leave those things which are behind, and reach forth to the goodly land beyond the Jordan, apprehending for that which you were apprehended for Christ Jesus. As I close tonight, I hope you have realized my burden that I've given you tonight. I know many of us that are there at college, we're getting ready to go out into our summer ministries. We're going to step out. And in all actuality, we shouldn't be putting these principles just now into our lives. We should already be living them. We're to do it now. As I said in the beginning of my message, it's not like a New Year's resolution. We just can't do it January the 1st. We need to be doing it right now. We need to make the decision tonight that we're going to accept those promises. We know that the person of God is always beside us, and we have the precepts with us all along our way. We need to be reading God's word right now. We need to be praying. And then we'll grow, grow, grow as the song goes. But are you making these changes in your life tonight? As those there at the colleges would go out, and even you here at Emmanuel Baptist Church here in Kings Mountain, it's been exciting to see the growth here in the last few years. Pastor Ogle many times in his classes mentions how we're getting the gospel out, and we're saturating Kings Mountain. It's exciting to go out in the community, and people say, oh, I've seen your literature before. I've seen you at the Christmas parade. It's exciting to see those things. Don't stop. Keep on going. We can't stop. We have promises that we've been given. And God's always going to be there with us. No matter what happens in our lives, He will always be there with us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for these promises that you've given us. And I pray it's just not something that goes in one ear and out the other tonight, but that we'll claim these promises and that we'll read your Bible and we'll realize that you're always there with us, and that we don't need to get discouraged, that we can be strong and very courageous. I pray that something that I've said tonight would encourage those, if they have neglected their time and their word lately, that they'll get back to that and they'll spend time with you and growing closer to you, and they'll accept those promises. They don't have to worry about being forgiven. They have to worry about not knowing to do different things, because you've promised to give us wisdom in whatsoever we ask it. I give this time tonight to you for your honor and your glory. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.